Steelers Jets Sunday Night Football coming your way. Steelers 2.5-point dogs at home in a battle of two old men. Now, Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby showed us the other night. Doesn't matter how old you are if you can get it done. It's Aaron Rodgers v. Russell Wilson in this one. Or at least that's what we're all expecting. And joining us now to discuss is Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. He's on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You ever seen that meme? I don't know if it's a meme. It's a GIF on social media, Doran.
GIF?
Oh. I thought it was a GIF.
I thought it was a GIF.
I thought it was soft G.
Huh.
That was here we go.
Doran is correct.
He said, here we go.
G stands for graphic.
It starts as soon.
What were you going to say? Sorry.
I was going to say that Chris Carter is the GIF of Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards in Game of Thrones, just pulling his sword out and facing an entire army by himself on social media the last few days. Carter, you've been breaking down the film. Just how much has Justin Fields left on the table in your mind in the passing game?
It's been a good deal. And here's the thing. It's so funny. On social media, there's often this thing where you say you really like pancakes, and someone will come and say, oh, so you hate waffles. And that's what I feel happens every time I bring up, hey, I think Justin Fields could be better in this department. Oh, so you just must hate him, really. And I'm like, actually, no. I actually really enjoy talking to Justin Fields. I actually think that he has a lot of potential. But I think that if you're looking for a reason for why the Steelers are considering Russell Wilson as an option, it's because he hasn't been able to hit consistently the reads they've set up in downfield passing. And I think it's especially been that case in the last two games. I did a film study after the Cowboys game showing that, hey, a lot of people were saying that the Steelers were way too conservative in their play calling. Arthur Smith saying that. But then you look at the All-22, and they were calling a lot of plays to go downfield. There were guys breaking downfield, and they just weren't getting targeted. Then after this week, you look at his play-action passing stats. Justin Fields going into this week has been given the fifth most play-action pass plays of all NFL quarterbacks, but ranked like 32nd in yards per attempt on those passes. And he was averaging an average depth per target on those passes of around 5 yards per pass. So, like, he's not – when you hit play action, you need to be hitting the tight end 10, 15, 20 yards downfield. And you won't hit it every play, but you need to average a little bit further than that. Like, even if it was 7 or 8 yards, that would be a better sign, because I would show, like, hey, he's hitting guys, you know, further downfield, and it's resulting in more yards. And that's where I think the Steelers are trying to – would like to see more from Justin Fields. Now, are the Steelers telling Justin Fields absolutely take no shots, no at no times, you know, be ultra conservative? I'm sure they're saying protect the football, but I have a hard time seeing them saying, hey, Justin, we're going to drop this play action play where Calvin Austin is going to be wide open in this situation, 20 yards downfield. Don't look at him. I don't care what anyone tells you. Don't look at him. Just throw to the check down underneath. And I think that's where they're hoping that Russell Wilson will capitalize and make more plays. But again, as I've said several times over and will continue to say, I'm not sure that if Russell Wilson does consistently hit those plays. And if he doesn't, I think that Justin Fields is the right call. But that's what the Steelers have to see for themselves this Sunday night.
Well, Chris, it's not about just about what Justin Fields hasn't been able to do. It's a lot about what they think Russell Wilson can do.
Yes.
And you said a little bit of that right there. What can Russell Wilson do? Like, why in their mind do they think that this is the decision to make right now and the right decision with Russell Wilson being the quarterback? What can he do to make this look different and make it look better?
I think one thing that Russell Wilson can do, and some people will say, well, he hasn't done this recently with the Broncos, is anticipate throws more often, understand where defenses are, and anticipate when to attack them. And that's one of my points with my film study. It's not just that there's guys open. It's that it appears, and again, I can't know the exact play call and what the names of the plays are and everything that's going on all the times and the progressions, but it appears just with the way some of these routes are attacking different defenses that Arthur Smith is at least anticipating the different coverages they're getting. Like, there's times when they get cover three and they consistently get cover three beaters, like guys heading down the seam. When they're in cover two, guys hitting the middle part of the field in between the safeties, or forcing the underneath zone corner to choose. Do you want to cover the underneath? Or do you want to cover the over top? Because the safety has to stay behind the play. And in those situations, Justin isn't anticipating it. And it's funny, you know, I post some of these plays online and people are saying, well, wait a second, the corner, he sees the play, he's going to jump that. And like, well, but the corner's 10 to 15 yards away. And if the throw is made with anticipation, as you'd expect an NFL quarterback to do, and thrown accurately, he wouldn't be able to, because it'd be thrown while the receiver's going into his break, and that would lead to a throw there. That's what they're hoping Russell Wilson can do, because they're expecting him as an NFL quarterback, as a 13th-year player, as a 9-year Pro Bowler, as a Super Bowl champion, as a guy who has been through this league so many times, that he's going to be able to play that style of ball more to their script than a fourth-year guy like Justin Fields. That's what they're banking on. But again, like you're saying, Dorn, he's got to prove he can do that, because he does not have the X-factor abilities that Justin Fields does, where, you know, I'd say once every 15 or so plays, you'll see Justin Fields just spin out of a play, be faster than everybody, or launch a laser that's like, wow, okay, that's the arm that you see. That's why he's a first-round pick. I think that's the thing the Steelers are going to have to balance with this decision.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Sometimes you have a guest on, you ask a question, and you think you know the answer. I don't know what Chris is going to say to this question. Uh-oh. Offensive line issues. Young, banged up, in flux, throwing a different unit out there again, which has been really the theme of the season for that unit. What do you say to the people who think that Russ will get killed back there because he doesn't have that kind of same level of escapability?
I think it's definitely a concern. I don't think it's a non-question. I think it's actually a good question. But I also think when you go back and you look at last year's offensive line that was still figuring it out when they threw Mason Rudolph out there, he's not as mobile as Justin Fields, and he was able to score 30 points in back-to-back games. And I think that, you know, certainly Zach Frazier's injury is a big hit, and we got to see how Ryan McCollum plays over a whole game, and he's going to have Quinnen Williams in his face a lot this game, and that's going to be a matchup that could go against the Steelers in a bad way. But I also think that part of what happens there is Russell Wilson, as the veteran quarterback, is going to also be able to see things coming a little bit faster and get the ball out a little bit quicker. Kind of like you saw Joe Flacco do for the Colts a few weeks ago. Joe Flacco is not nearly as mobile as Anthony Richardson, but you know what he knows how to do? He knows, hey, the plan is get the ball out. Like that's what the plan was that week. I think that Russell Wilson can play to that script a little bit better, even if that has not been the majority of his career. A lot of Russell's career has been magic. Russ is just, let me run around, let me spin around, hold the ball, and here's a moon ball. Like, and he does ridiculous things that way. But there's also times where he has played on a shorter leash and a bit of a shorter script, just not that often. And I think that's what the Steelers have to show, that he can do that. And if he does do that within their system, that could open things up. Because here's the thing. You start hitting that anticipated, you know, Connor Hayward, you know, seam pass off a tight end that gets you 10 to 12 yards. You start hitting that Calvin Austin corner route instead of the underneath flat route that gets you 20 yards. Then on first down, when you're coming out in the 12 personnel formation, and teams can't press the box as much because they're like, hold on a second, Russell Wilson might be hitting us with another Pat Freiermuth pass, or Darnell Washington could be over here getting big yards, or George Pickens could be getting a target here. We have to play back a little bit. We can't make our first, second, and third steps towards the line of scrimmage to stop the run. Then the run game opens up a little bit more. Then you have that balance that I think the Steelers always wanted in this offense. And that's where I think that if Russell Wilson can do that, a lot more things open up for the Steelers.
I think we can agree that this is a must-win game for the Jets, but is it a must-win game for the Steelers?
You always like to say that, like you don't want to go into, like, every game's must-win. It's why, like, Pat Narduzzi says, we'll go 1-0 every week. I don't think it's a must-win game for the Steelers simply because I think that there are more winnable games on their schedule, many more winnable games on their schedule, especially with how that some of the AFC North teams are playing right now. But that being said, This is a lot where you were last year. They were 4-2. They were playing the Jaguars at home, a winnable game, and they didn't get it done. And if they had won that game in 5-2, what does that set up for the rest of the year? And you know, you think back to some of the opportunities they had last year, like when they were, I think they were what, 6-4 when they started their losing streak to the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Colts, that fell them down to 6-7, and then they had to rally at the end of the season to get to 10-7. I think that's what the records were. You can't say at this point in time that it's the must-win game of the season unless it's just your hunch. But I do feel like it is a major opportunity to go up 5-2 in the division. That Monday Night Football game for the Ravens is a tough one. The Buccaneers are no slouches. And if you got a favor from Baker Mayfield over against Lamar Jackson, you have a chance to get your division lead back on the Ravens. And any win right now that keeps giving you an edge over your divisional opponents, it's helpful. So is it must win? No, but it certainly, I'd say that you're on DEFCON 3 here if you're the Steelers, if that's a fair comparison.
Sure, why not? Chris, really good stuff, man. Awesome film breakdown. Love what you're doing on Twitter to the hoi polloi out there too. So thank you for all of your service, and we appreciate your time.
Yes.
Thanks, fellas. Check out Skylights Highlights tonight on Channel 11. We got all of the high school football highlights with Jenna Harner.
Look at that. Yeah, you get a plug in there. A little plug.
Plug it!
Thank you, plug Carter.
It. Thanks, Chris.
See you, buddy. You. He's one of the best. Yep. Chris Carter brings the energy, has the knowledge, love his breakdowns. You're doing high school football tonight.
Yes, I am. North Allegheny, Pine Richland. How about that?
You know anything about North Allegheny?
Yeah, I did a game a couple weeks ago. They played Central Catholic. Yes, they have a two-quarterback system, but it's really a one-quarterback system right now, which there are people who think that the other quarterback should be playing. So they are going back and forth. Yeah, it's a whole deal up there.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
And yet they're okay?
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Big test tonight.
Big test.
Mm-hmm. He can't come on here and promote his high school football.
We're not going to do it. Katie K.A., baby. Mm-hmm.
With Zane Grilly.
Zane Grilly, Coach Johnny Lee.
Johnny Lee, one of the best.
Donnie Football.
Little Donnie Football. Marconi stuff.
Yes.
For you guys, your coverage on Katie K.A. 6-2 at the bye feels a lot different than 5-3, or 4-4, to be sure. So you got to get there. You got to get to 6-2. We talked all offseason after the schedule was released about how important it is to get to the bye at least 6-2. They've got that opportunity, but you got to take care of it this week. Carter also said Narduzzi, 1-0 mentality. Narduzzi's mentality isn't just have fun at the games.
No.
It's not just have fun, enjoy the weather, have a great tailgate. It's go 1-0 this week.
1-0.
The win is the most important thing.
Yes.
How about him trolling Neil Brown yesterday?
Great.
On social media.
It's awesome.
I actually think West Virginia fans like it too.
They did, because they think that it helps them push Neil Brown out.
That's right. Exactly. And hey, to the victor go the spoils. We'll react to some of what Carter had to say there. Also, Terry Bradshaw, of course, now weighed in on the Steelers quarterback decision. We'll let you hear what he had to say. We'll react to that too. Oh, 823, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. Terry Bradshaw, of course, weighed in now on the Steelers quarterback decision that we think is Russell Wilson starting on Sunday night against the Jets. Real quick, in about 12 minutes, we're going behind enemy lines. Going to be joined by Jets beat writer from The Athletic, Zach Rosenblatt. So looking forward to that, his scouting report on what's going on with New York. Before we do get to Bradshaw, a lot of what I heard Carter say in the last segment about Fields v. Wilson leads me to believe that his conclusion is that Arthur Smith's calling the right stuff, that Arthur Smith's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
They're just leaving things on the table.
Mm-hmm.
They got cover two beaters. They got cover three beaters. There's guys running open. Fields isn't finding them. I feel like Arthur Smith's gotten a fair amount of criticism. Now, not Canada level or even before that with Fichtner, but he has come under fire a little bit. We're going to find out a little bit more about Arthur Smith then. If he's calling the right stuff and now you've got a quarterback that's been in the league for a decade plus, okay, go find those open dudes.
Well, I do wonder like how expansive his offensive play call, his offense is. And like, there's one thing to have a game plan and have an offense, but then how can you evolve from that and let the quarterback be the offense? And I think that that's the next level, and that's where Arthur Smith has been wanting to get to is, okay, I don't have to, I can just let you go, Russ. Like, I trust you to get us in the right things and to, you know, have a faster paced offense, maybe go no huddle a little bit, because, you know, within our offense, yeah, I could call plays and set things up, but I trust you to see what's going on as well. See, there's so many levels to all this. It's like, do I trust a quarterback to see what's going on in order for them to go to the line and to just keep things moving? Or do I have to kind of, not hold the hand, but do I have to kind of manage the game? And Arthur Smith has done a good job through the first six games of doing that with Fields. I think now you'll see a little bit more of an evolution of what this offense really can do, because he doesn't have to just manage the whole entire game. He can kind of just let Russ go in there and figure out what he sees and kind of counter everything that he sees.
Mm-hmm. I saw Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot say he thinks that Arthur Smith would rather go with Fields. I think Pony was making that argument yesterday, that Arthur Smith would rather go with Fields. I don't think so. He wants to run play action. He is running play action. They're not getting production on play action. I don't know that it's even more deep than that. He also knows the team hasn't been scoring early on in football games. He also knows that whether it's his decision or Fields isn't comfortable with it or it's Mike Tomlin's decision, they weren't giving him the freedom to check in and out of stuff at the line of scrimmage. Like, an offensive coordinator doesn't want that.
Mm-mm.
An offensive coordinator wants an extra set of eyes on the field, because his stuff's only going to look better because of that.
Right.
You need a plan B. You need to be able to have that freedom. So I think Arthur Smith wants this guy to play. I think that's why they got him in the first place, because they want this guy to play.
I think Justin Fields is fun to him. It's a project that he's looking to, you know, if he makes Justin Fields, then that makes him obviously look better. It's a little personal thing with Justin Fields, but I think he also knows in the back of his mind that Russell Wilson gives this team the best chance to win. So I think he wants both of them for different reasons. And I would not balk at that at all. Like, I totally agree. Like, you lost your job as a head coach. You're trying to rebuild yourself. Why not attach yourself to a quarterback, a young quarterback that you could rebuild at the same time? And then you could flourish from there. But you also, it's like, did Arthur Smith ever have a quarterback like Russ? A veteran quarterback? No.
He
had what, Desmond Ritter?
These two quarterbacks, both quarterbacks right now are better than what he had at any point in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I could see, okay, we're 4-2 with this quarterback. We weren't winning a lot in Atlanta. I want to keep rolling with the guy. But I could also see him going, all right, Coach T wants to go with somebody else while we're 4-2, and I get to call the stuff that I've always wanted to call. Okay, let's do that too.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't always need to be controversy.
No.
I think there's a difference between controversy and a hard decision. And I think this is more a hard decision than it is draped in any kind of controversy or conflict. Like, there doesn't always have to be, like, even if Arthur Smith disagrees with the decision, and I don't think he does, but even if he did, it doesn't mean that it wasn't, you know, 51-49,
right,
Justin Fields.
Right.
Because I think that there's legitimate arguments on both sides of this. Terry Bradshaw says the Steelers should absolutely start Justin Fields. And, you know, I've heard some people use that to bolster their arguments. And again, I'm a guy who wants to see Fields. But you have to consider where it's coming from. Terry Bradshaw wasn't given the reins of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cadillac that was the 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers until 1974. His rookie year was 1970, but there's no free agency. Quarterbacks got more time to develop and flourish back then. He looks at a Justin Fields in year four, and he thinks that there's more meat on the bone,
mm-hmm,
because he didn't figure it out until 1974, and they win the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
So I don't know that Terry Bradshaw is sitting there watching the All-22 either. Like, Terry Bradshaw is putting himself in Justin Fields' shoes and saying, hey, that's how it worked for me. So I understand his perspective. That doesn't necessarily mean it's right.
I think his perspective comes from, hey, let me just, you know, let's watch the young guy. Let's give the young guy credit. Russell Wilson already, you know, has a ring. You know, I don't need to really give Russell Wilson credit. Like, he's an aging quarterback, and the Steelers are doing something a little bit different this year than they've had in the past, and they really haven't had to do something like this before because of Ben being around. And last year, you know, obviously with Kenny and everything, the merry-go-round, I think Terry looks at it like, okay, like, I'm going to give a lot of credit to the young guy, and hopefully he can pan out like I did.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, they had Joe Gillum playing. They were 4-1-1. Benched him. Bradshaw comes in. Benched Bradshaw. The other guy went 3-for-26 with 4 picks. So you go back to Terry Bradshaw.
How do you know all this?
I read.
Because you weren't alive.
I made it all up.
Oh.
I'm a liar. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. NFL films, like the 1970s. They just came out. I just watched one. I forget what it was called. It just came out the other day on YouTube about the 1974 Steelers. So it's fresh in the mind.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Full of YouTube watching. Mm. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, we go behind enemy lines with Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic, talking Jets, Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and more. All right, it's time to go behind enemy lines, brought to you by Monster Brewing, and we'll do just that with Zach Rosenblatt, senior writer for The Athletic. He covers the New York Jets. Zach, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. So Aaron Rodgers gets his guy, Devontae Adams in, and magically healed. I don't know what you're allowed to say, what you've seen in practice. I know in Pittsburgh there's some kind of goofy rules, but do you expect these guys to... Is it like riding a bike, I guess, Zach? Are they just going to pick up right where they left off, do you think?
I mean, that's the idea. You know, their degree of friendship is greater than I've really seen with the quarterback wide receiver. Devontae's staying at his house right now. I think the first night he stayed there, they went over Aaron's hand signals that he uses at the line of scrimmage. And Aaron says that Devontae's like 95% caught up. So I think we're going to find out just how quickly they can just flick it back on and get right back into the chemistry they had in Green Bay. But that was the idea when they traded for him. You know, when he's healthy and at his best, he's a great receiver, and he's at his best when Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball. So you hope that they can reignite that flame, but they also need to worry about the offensive line in front of them too.
Zach, how's Garrett Wilson been handling the situation? Garrett Wilson, you know, being the number one receiver all the way up until this point, and now you have Devontae Adams coming in. Has there been any controversy behind him in moving to number two receiver?
No, not. I mean, I would say not yet. I think it depends on how these next few weeks go. You know, Garrett was definitely frustrated with his role through the first three or four games, and then the last two games, I think he has over 30 targets, and he was really getting funneled the ball a lot. And now he's not going to be the number one guy anymore, probably, with Devontae here. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he handles it. If they're winning, I think everything will be fine. But if they're losing and he's not getting the ball, then you might see a little issue.
Before we move off wide receiver, because, I mean, it fits. Mike Williams, future Steeler?
I mean, it makes some logical sense. I do think there are some teams that are interested. I can't get a read on how interested the Jets are in trading him, though he has been he hasn't practiced the last 2 days for personal reasons, in quotes. So I don't really know what exactly that is. But, I think the Steelers are a candidate. Going back to the Chargers and the Saints are like the three teams that have checked in on him.
What's Nate Hackett's role now? They obviously panned him during the last game, and he's kind of just, you know, sitting in the background. And, you know, obviously he's not offensive coordinator now, but what's his role moving forward? And has Aaron Rodgers been okay with that, knowing that he's Aaron Rodgers' boy as well?
I'd say he's maybe the coffee guy now, and Aaron Rodgers is a buddy. I honestly don't know what he's doing. I'm sure he's advising Todd Downing a little bit. I'm sure he's like involved in the meetings and stuff like that. But it's a very unique situation. I can't remember many cases where a guy was demoted in this way and kind of just stripped of all his responsibilities. But I don't think Aaron was like thrilled about the demotion, though. I think he understood that changes were coming because of the way the offense was playing, and so. You know, that, like you said, that's his buddy, and I think he trusts him above almost any play caller in the league. But Hackett was not doing his job well enough, so ultimately it was not a hard decision, I don't think.
Zach Rosenblatt joining us from The Athletic, going behind enemy lines, brought to you by Monster Brewing. I mean, the outside perspective, I think, is it's a dysfunctional mess, but you're there every day. Is it as dysfunctional as it would appear on the outside?
I mean, look, they fired their coach in week 5 out of nowhere, so I think it's fair to label it dysfunctional right now. But, you know, they could quickly turn that, like, if they start winning, then things will get back on the right track. Like, this, at the end of the day, this is a very talented roster. It's one of the more talented ones in the league, I think, in the AFC. And if they can just get this back on track, then they have a chance to you know, at least compete for the playoffs. The goal was more than that before the season started, but 2-4 is a hard hole to get out of. 2-5 would be even harder. So if they lose to the Steelers this week, then it could start getting a little ugly. But if they can win this game, then I think things can get back on the right track.
How do you think that Russell Wilson is going to pan out for the Steelers from the opposite side? I think one can make the argument that the Steelers the last couple of years have been dysfunctional as well as the Jets. But, you know, Russell Wilson's probably going to start Sunday night. Does that pose, in Jets fans' minds, does that pose more of a threat than Justin Fields and what he has done thus far this season?
I actually viewed it, and I feel like the team maybe feels this way too, but I think they probably view Justin Fields as a bigger threat just because they've been really bad against the run. And obviously Justin Fields adds something to the running game that Russell Wilson just doesn't at this stage of his career. So I think that's a little scarier. But, you know, the Jets are very banged up on the back end. DJ Reed's probably not going to play this week. They're starting nickel corner. Michael Carter probably won't play. They just lost Chuck Clark to injured reserve. He's a starting safety. That's three out of their, like, five starting defensive backs. And so you'd probably trust Russell Wilson to take advantage of that more than Justin Fields. So it's not perfect. And the Jets' D-line has been very inconsistent. And so if they're not pressuring Russell and he's able to, you know, get the ball out quickly and get it to his receivers down the field, then it could get ugly. But I do think they're a little more scared of Fields just because of his ability to run and the struggle they've had stopping the run.
Zach Rosenblatt, The Athletic, behind enemy lines with us right now, brought to you by Monster Brewing. How has Russ, I was going to do it at some point. How does the other old guy, how's Aaron Rodgers look to you?
You know, he's had a couple of weeks where he's looked really old and made some mistakes that he historically doesn't make. You know, that Vikings game in London in particular, he had some really bad interceptions, some really bad throws. But, you know, when he's been at his best, he's looked like Aaron Rodgers. Last week, he was really good. They've been throwing the ball a little too much. You want them to establish the run a little quicker. But, yeah, you know, I think he's a quarterback you definitely can win with, and he probably is going to win you some games, but he's not able to do all the same things that he used to do. So the amount that he's been getting hit, he's definitely banged up. He's getting hit a lot. If the offensive line doesn't pick it up, then Aaron is not going to look like Aaron.
If this team becomes revitalized now that you have Davante Adams, if they start getting on this moving train, start winning games, and say that they make it to the playoffs, does Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach, does he become the full-time head coach next year for the Jets?
Yeah, I think he does. You know, the one thing Woody Johnson wants more than anything is to end their playoff skid. They haven't been in 13 years, and it's the longest skid in professional sports of the four leagues. So I think if Jeff is the one to get them there, then he absolutely earned a chance to keep this job. Whether they just hand it to him or he uses it to get a job somewhere else, like, I don't know. But I really do think they would offer him the full-time job if they make the playoffs.
Zach Rosenblatt, awesome stuff, man. We really appreciate you coming on. Hey, maybe we'll do it for a playoff game.
that would be interesting, but yeah, let's see.
Thanks a lot, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too. Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic. Three out of five starters in the secondary could not be playing. I mean, I know that this has been kind of painted by some as this bad matchup because the Jets pass rush against the Steelers banged up offensive line, but how about you want to take advantage of what they don't have in the secondary, so play the guy who you think's the better passer.
Mm-hmm.
Makes some sense.
Yes.
Someone texted in, guys, two legendary head coaches have said Russ was done. What do you guys see that they didn't? Again, for the umpteenth time, I would start Justin Fields. But Tony Dungy also said that Russ Wilson was significantly better, and I'm paraphrasing, than Justin Fields in practice. He's a legendary coach, too. You're going to have
people
on both sides of these things with great resumes making arguments.
Yes.
Like, Ben wants Fields, Bradshaw wants Fields, Belichick says, okay, how about Fields? Well, Tony Dungy says, how about Russ Wilson? It just, you're going to have guys on both sides, just FYI. And then I got the response, all respect to Mr. Dungy, they don't pay you $50 million to go away if you still have it. Well, Belichick got forced out too, and then nobody wanted him. So, again, there's going to be good people on both sides, if you will, Doran. Coming up next, we're going to go around the NFL. That was Behind Enemy Lines, brought to you by Monster Brewing. And there's something happening in Cleveland, Doran, that no self-respecting franchise with nuts should do. And this has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. We'll tell you about it. We'll get to some of the big matchups from around the weekend with Lee Sterling at 9 o'clock. One other thing Zach Rosenblatt brought up in the last segment is how often Aaron Rodgers has been hit this year. Against Buffalo, sacked three times, Minnesota three times, Denver five times. He's been sacked at least twice in all but one game this season. So I think they're going to get after this guy.
Yes.
Alex Highsmith back.
Yes.
Get him off his spot. even though you can still see the glimpses of the old Rodgers, and we've talked about this, he can't move as well as he used to. Crush the old man.
Mm-hmm.
Hit him in the back. Rough the passer a little bit. Although we know they'll call it. 50-minute mark on the fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And now it is time for Going Around the League, brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. We'll get to some of the big matchups, of course, for this weekend. It's a great slate of NFL games.
Pretty good.
Doran, you see the Browns are going to build a dome?
I did.
They're going to Brook Park or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It just doesn't feel very AFC North football to me.
It's all going to change like that. I mean, the revenue that you can make through the cold months, whenever you could have concerts, you could have events. I mean, you could have, what is the big truck show that, you know, people always have?
Monster Jam.
You could have those there. Like, I mean, these owners, and now they're looking to make as much money as possible. And we talked about this offline yesterday or 2 days ago about just ownership and what their vision is. And all of them are about making money. So if you invest into your product and invest into your arenas, you can make more money. So it makes sense to me. I think the Steelers may think about doing that as well.
I think every cold weather team, if we all live to a typical life expectancy, we're going to see them all have a dome.
Yes.
And you're going to see corporate suites take over, all for money making. And I don't like it because we grow up on outdoor winter football. AFC Championship game against Baltimore, it was cold. It was real cold against the Patriots in 04. I mean, it was real cold. You think about the game where they honored Franco Harris, where Kenny Pickett finds Pickens in the back of the end zone, and it's negative whatever out there. Like, that's awesome to me. But if I'm sitting, like, I didn't go. I watched it home in the comfort of my basement with a Snuggie on, drinking cold beers because I could. I think Donnie went to the game. His beer froze in his hand.
Yep.
I put it up as a quick Twitter poll here. Would you ever want the Steelers to play in a dome? 84% of people saying no. I think if people went to football games inside, they would realize it's a much better experience. And I hate it, but I also get it.
Yeah. I mean, but
I would go to more games.
I would too, but just like you said, if you are going to put a dome or a roof on, then the average fan won't be able to pay for tickets because they will renovate those upper levels into suites.
They'll be
corporate suites. There'll be businesses that buy the suites up, and it'll be a pretty penny to go to football games. I mean, just think about L.A. I mean, even in Vegas. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty expensive to go watch those games.
The rendering of what they're going to be building for the Browns, it looks magnificent.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like football. Like, what they got now, the dog pound and it's snow. I remember when they lost that Thursday night game. It was like 9-6 or something, or 6-3. And Ben's getting tackled onto straight concrete.
Yep.
That's AFC North football. So I realize I'm kind of riding both sides of the fence. It doesn't feel right to me, but I would enjoy it more. But you're going to get priced out if you're a Donnie football.
Yep.
You got to be like Donnie Escargot football.
Escargot. What?
Fancy pinky out Donnie football. Those are the guys in there. Donnie football is what it's going to be. Donnie soccer. It just doesn't feel right, but I get it. Taylor Swift can't have a concert at Brown Stadium now in December. She will be able to soon.
Yes.
And they're going to put 60,000 people in there.
Yep.
So that's the way it's all going. And we can bitch, moan, complain. Better get used to it. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. That is, would you like to see the Steelers build a dome? 85% of people saying no. Coming up next, we'll look around the league at some of the biggest games this weekend with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. We've got odds and ends coming up in the final hour of the show as well. So we're flying, moving, grooving on a football Friday. Right now, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado 1500s, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 66.